I love a good podcast, as you know, and I'm always happy to share resources for parents who are looking for creative, smart content that both entertains and offers enrichment for curious kids everywhere. So I'm happy to let you know about this awesome new show from the creators of the hit kids podcast Who Smarted and Netflix's Brainchild, the adventurous world of mysteries about true histories, affectionately known as MATH. Every episode follows Max and Molly, who have just been recruited into a secret order of problem solvers on an adventure through time, packed with puzzles, hidden equations, history, and laughs. The series explores themes that kids like ours love, like the stories behind math, critical thinking, code breaking, pattern solving, and more. And episodes transport kids into iconic periods in history like Pythagoras's ancient Greece, the era of the Aztecs, Sir Isaac Newton's England. So cool. New episodes drop every Thursday and are about 15 minutes long, a perfect length for those car rides, for meal times, for break times, and bedtimes. What I love about this show is that it's kind of like listening to a book on tape. The story is captivating and includes lots of problems listeners can try to solve. The voice actors are fantastic, and the math concepts are seamlessly weaved into the narrative. It's exactly the kind of show Ash would have loved a few years ago, especially during our homeschool years, because finding that perfect blend of entertaining and educating, it isn't always easy. So tune in to Mysteries About True Histories with your kids. You can follow and listen on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your pods. I'm Debbie Reber, and welcome to Tilt Parenting, a podcast featuring interviews and conversations aimed at inspiring, informing, and supporting parents raising differently wired kids. I get a lot of questions from listeners looking for help navigating complex situations with their kids. So in this new mini episode format, I'll be answering listener questions, sometimes all on my own, sometimes with one of the parent coaches from the Differently Wired Club, and sometimes with an author or expert who's become a trusted resource. Think of these bite-sized, short and sweet parent-leaning episodes as a quick check-in. One question, one answer, featuring strategies, tips, or reframes that can support you in your parenting world. To submit a question for a parent-leaning episode, just go to tiltparenting.com/lean-in. That's tiltparenting.com/LEANIN. All right, here's today's episode. Hey everyone, it's Debbie Reber here from Tilt Parenting, and I am thrilled that parent coach Margaret Webb is joining me for today's Parent Lean-In episode. Margaret is a dear friend of mine. She was my very first parent coach. She's also the lead parent coach in my Differently Wired Club, where she provides a ton of support for the parents in that community. Margaret's also the author of the wonderful new book, A Hero's Journey in Parenting, Parenting the Child You Didn't Expect When You Were Expecting, which we recently talked about on this show. So if you haven't heard that, definitely go back and check out that episode. It'll be in the show notes page for this episode. Welcome, Margaret. Thank you so much for being here.
I'm so excited to be here.
Awesome. Well, we have a great question to get into. So are you ready?
I'm ready.
Here goes. The question is, I've been around a lot of parents lately dealing with aggression in their kids. When I talk about Mona Della Hook's work or trying to understand what's underneath the behavior and how to prevent it, I am met with dismissal and some frustration. Do you know of an ethical way for a parent to protect themselves from a child's aggression in the moment or anyone who talks about that? Of course, we want to create a sense of safety in the child's nervous system so that we can prevent this in the first place. But if we've missed that window, what are parents supposed to do? What a great question. And Margaret, I'm going to ask you to start today.
Yeah, I think this is such a great question. And it's something that is so common with parents, especially, you know, when there is an escalation of emotions and behaviors with our kiddos. And so I do feel like even though you might be met with dismissal or it might be like, oh, well, that doesn't matter, I think it is important to acknowledge and to be aware of what is underneath or what is the underlying cause of the escalation, because that can help shift the energy for the adult, not for the child, but for the adult in understanding where those strong emotions or where the aggression is coming from. Because if we're just responding to that aggression as though it's just a behavior, kind of being able to, in that moment, rewind even for a second to think about, well, what was happening before this? You know, where's it? Are they hungry? Are they thirsty? Are they, you know, did they just lose a game? Did they just get home from school and they've used up all of their energy trying to get through the day, and then they come home and they take it out on me, they take it out on brother or sister, or they take it out on whoever is around. I think there's a lot of good information that can be gotten from just taking some time to quickly scan through some underlying causes that might be, you know, might be the possible causes. The question is about, like, once that window has passed, what do you do? And I feel like safety is very important. And so I have spent many times behind a closed door. When my son was younger, he would have strong emotional reactions to things. And I would say, you know, instead of putting him in timeout, I would put myself in timeout. And I would go into my room, or I would go into the bathroom. I would go somewhere and I would close the door. But I had a mantra that I used with him that was very helpful. And it was, I will help you when your body is calm. Because he would inevitably come and he would just be on the other side of the door and he would be banging on the door. And I would say, because realistically, I can't help him when his body's not calm. And so I would say, I will help you when your body is calm. I can help you when your body is calm. There were times where we would just go and we would get on the bed and he would thrash around, and I would, you know, if it felt like he needed some pressure, then I would just kind of do a bear hug with him, but he would still like be thrashing. But it allowed him to get some of that energy out. So I think, again, safety is very important. If you have other kids around, you know, put them, you know, just have them somewhere safe where they're not going to be on the receiving end of strong behaviors or strong emotions from the other child, if you have pets and all that stuff. So keep, you know, do what you can to keep everybody safe. But, you know, in realizing that a lot of times they're not in control. It's not something that they're choosing to do. It's that there is a surge of emotional energy that is going through their bodies and they're not in control. I equate it to being PMSing, and it's not some, you know, that's not something that we can control. But if you want to, or if you have the opportunity to keep your body regulated during that time and say something like, you know, it seems like your body seems like it's in the red zone, or I'm noticing that your body is in the red zone. What, you know, do you need help, or how can I help you? Trying some different things out to see if there's something that can be the stick in the wheel, or is this something that they just need to ride it out and let the energy go? You might say, do you want me to go into the room to calm, or do you want me to, you know, or do you want to go into the room and calm? Or do you want me to stay with, you know, do you want me to stay with you while you calm? Keep the verbal engagement to a minimum, because the more that we engage verbally, the more it's almost like adding tinder to a fire, and it's just going to keep escalating things. And so the more that you can just say one thing, that's why I use the mantra, just one thing, keep it simple, keep it, you know, to basic choices and see how it goes. And this is all trial and error during those situations. Now, after the fact, I would definitely, you know, once everything gets back to a place of baseline where the emotions have calmed, I would start to teach them about recognizing in their bodies, like when an escalation, or I call it like the volcano, when it's starting to erupt or when it's starting to feel big. And this is not a one and done thing. It's building relationship with, what does this feel like when you start, you know, like, do you feel hot? Do you feel like you want to yell? How does it feel in your body? And use yourself as an example. And I will tell my son, I feel like when he's really just kind of going at it and I start to notice that I'm wanting to escalate, I will say I feel like the volcano wants to erupt and I don't want that to happen. What do I need to do? And he'll say, you need to go in the other room. You need to calm down. You need to listen, take some deep breaths. And so teaching them those same strategies of building awareness of what things feel like in their body, I think that can be really helpful. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I love everything that you shared so much. We're going to take a quick break and then I will share my thoughts. This year, I've been working on becoming more attuned to my body, and so I'm starting to really recognize how periodic spikes in anxiety or disruptions to my routines can seriously throw my whole system off. And as I've been traveling a ton this past month, which is both disruptive and somewhat stressful, I'm especially glad that I have the extra support of Symbiotic Plus, a 3-in-1 supplement from Ritual with clinically studied prebiotics, probiotics, and a postbiotic to support a balanced gut microbiome. Symbiotic Plus provides fuel to the cells that make up the gut lining to support a healthy gut barrier, and it comes in this very cool minty delayed release capsule, which was specifically designed to help survive the harsh conditions of the upper GI tract for delivery to the colon. The bonus is that the capsules don't need to be refrigerated, so I can easily bring them with me in my carry-on. On a personal level, I love that Ritual is committed to sustainability. They're a female-founded B Corp, meaning they are holding themselves accountable long-term to not only think about their company's financial health, but also the health of people and our planet. There's no more shame in your gut game. Symbiotic Plus and Ritual are here to celebrate, not hide your insides. Get 25% off your first month for limited time at ritual.com/tilt. Start Ritual or add Symbiotic Plus to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/tilt for 25% off. I'm on the road this month, and oh man, am I missing my sweet kitties Haskell and Lua. They've been a part of our family for more than 2 years, and I'm so grateful they're keeping Darren such good company while I'm away. If you're getting a new pet soon, you're probably already thinking about everything you'll need to buy. Food, toys, a cozy bed, doggy bags, or litter boxes. Something you may not be thinking about, though, is pet insurance. That's why you should check out ASPCA Pet Health Insurance. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program offers customizable accident and illness plans, making it easier for pet parents like you to help your pet get the care they may need. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program has been around for over 18 years, and they've helped more than 600,000 pets during that time. They allow you to customize your plan, helping ensure that your pet's plan is as unique as they are, because vet bills can really add up, especially when you're least expecting it. It's simple. Use their app to submit a claim and you'll receive reimbursement for eligible vet bills directly into your bank account. To explore coverage, visit aspcapetinsurance.com/parenting. That's aspcapetinsurance.com/parenting. Again, that's aspcapetinsurance.com/parenting. This is a paid advertisement. Insurance is underwritten by either Independence American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company and produced by PTZ Insurance Agency Limited. The ASPCA is not an insurer and is not engaged in the business of insurance.
Yeah, so I loved everything that you said. So much wisdom and lived experience in those answers. Here's the stuff that came up for me as I read through this question. I instantly thought of Tina Payne Bryson and Dan Siegel's work, and specifically the book that they co-wrote, The Power of Showing Up, in which they talk about the four S's. The four S's are safe, seen, soothed, and secure. And those are the ways in which we want to show up to help our kids feel safe, seen, soothed, and secure. And I've had Tina on the show before to talk about this, and I'll have a link in the show notes page. But when she actually visited our Differently Wired Club, we talked about this kind of very specific scenario that the person who shared this question with us is in. And so I went back and re-watched that visit. And what Tina also said was how important it is that we avoid using threat-based control strategies, which can often be a default if we're feeling backed up against a wall or we weren't expecting this big escalation of behavior and we just wanted to stop, right? And so she talks about really focusing on those four S's, because then what's actually getting wired in our kids' brain is a more collaborative and cooperative way of being together, of solving problems, and where everyone's kind of getting their needs met as best they can. So Tina talks a lot about empathy, right? Being really empathetic in, you know, and I agree. I just want to say I agree with Margaret. Like in the moment, sometimes less is definitely more in terms of verbal engagement. I used to say way too much when things were not going well. But sometimes a very just empathetic, you know, I can see you're really mad. You have to go to bed. That doesn't feel fair. Doesn't feel great. And just leave it at that. But something so that our child knows that we see them and we understand that they're having a hard time right now, but we're going to be calm through it. So when we can show up that way in the moment, our kids learn that we can handle their big feelings and that we are a safe person for them. So those are really important things to keep in mind that we want to, you know, ultimately help our kids learn resilience, right? Through this idea that, okay, my feelings are really big, but they're not scary to everybody. And actually, I can manage these. So that's where we want to eventually get with that.
Well, and I love that. And don't expect that if you say, you know, oh, like, I understand that you don't want to go to bed, or I, you know, just the response isn't always going to be, oh, thanks, mom. Like, I'm so glad that you, you know, that I'm seen and that I'm heard. There's probably going to be, you know, like in that moment, they're looking for somebody to kind of battle with so that they can release some of their energy. So just know, keep going back to that of like, I know this is annoying, or I know this is frustrating. I know this is hard. And just know that it's not just going to be like this moment where they're just like, oh, great. Okay. I'll go to bed right now, mom.
Thank you for that clarification. Yes, that is certainly not what happens. But what it can do is help us as the parent or caregiver in that interaction stay calm. And it can de-escalate things potentially more quickly. And I say potentially because if this is a new strategy, it might actually have the opposite effect the first couple times you try this, because they're not going to get the same expected response. And they might be like, wait, you know, I want more than this. I want my parent to know I'm really upset right now. But if we zoom out and remember what we're trying to do here, which is raise kids who can eventually regulate their own emotions, and we want to make sure that they feel safe and seen with us and be that non-anxious presence in their life, this is the way to go. And I want to acknowledge, and I want to hear more from you on this, Margaret, too. In the moment, like prioritizing our own calm is not easy. And we want to be able to lend our nervous systems to our kids. So centering ourselves in that moment is so important. Again, like Margaret said, making sure your child's safe, but sometimes being on the other side of a door, you can verbally soothe through that door. One of the things that I used to do was like physically hug myself. So it would help me calm my nervous system, because I would get escalated the second my kid got escalated. So if I could like wrap my arms around myself and kind of squeeze my arms, I'm doing it right now, you can't see me, but that would help me kind of get back into my body and out of my head. And it would help me return to calm more quickly. Also, Margaret taught me the skill, simple but powerful skill, of just taking that deep breath, holding it, slowly releasing it in the moment, doing that a couple of times, you know, that triggers our autonomic nervous system, which can then help our parasympathetic nervous system kick in, which is like the relaxing calm part of our nervous system. So take those breaths, couple of breaths, that is going to kind of help your body, without you even having to think about it, naturally calm down a little bit. I'm going to share one other pro tip, something I used to do just to kind of shake things up sometimes in the middle of a big escalation and things were not going well, my kid was really dysregulated, I might just put on a song, either like a classical music song or sometimes a dance song, and I would start dancing. I would do something really unexpected and something that could capture my kid's attention in the moment and enough that it would kind of stop whatever was happening, if that makes sense. So sometimes doing something really unexpected, and you can do this with humor or other things too, but in the moment can shake things up enough and disrupt what's happening. So that's kind of like a, it's not something I could rely on all the time, but every now and then it worked really well. I'm going to share a couple of resources because the person who asked the question asked specifically some other people to tap into for ethical ways to navigate. So I'll share those in a moment. But Margaret, I just want to ask you how you took care of yourself in the moment. Like, what was your strategy?
My strategy was to do the opposite of what I was feeling, which was like you were talking about, we want this to go away and to be done and be over with as quickly as possible. And so I had to do the opposite and slow myself way down and like almost go in slow motion where, and it was so uncomfortable at first because it is uncomfortable to be in the midst of those strong feelings and behaviors and emotions. But I just had to I had to slow how I was talking. I slowed my body. I slowed my breath. Like everything just slowed way down because I noticed in reflection during these times, I wanted to go fast. I wanted to put it out. I wanted to be done. I wanted to move on. And that was just feeding the fire. And so doing the opposite was the most helpful for me to regulate and calm myself.
So helpful. So I just wanted to lastly share some people you could check out if you want to learn more about these in the moment strategies. So my list is what you mentioned in your question, Dr. Mona Delahook. She has so much information on her website where she keeps a blog, and you'll likely find more strategies for in the moment. But her book, Brain Body Parenting, has a lot of great information. Tina Payne Bryson, who I mentioned, has talked a lot about this on Instagram and in all of her writing. Hunter Clark Fields, she's the Mindful Mama Mentor. She's been on the show a couple times. She has a podcast and she's really good about staying calm in the moment. We've talked about that on the show. Dana Abraham of Calm the Chaos has some great strategies. And then, of course, Margaret. Margaret did a podcast with me probably 6 years ago called Getting Through Difficult Moments. So that's a great listen. And Margaret also has a lot of strategies in our book. So I will have links to all of that in the show notes pages, so you can go check that out. So I just want to say thank you so much for that great question. I know that's a question that so many people are dealing with aggression, and it can be so perplexing to know how to respond in the moment in a way that feels right and in alignment with our values. So thanks for that. And thank you so much, Margaret, for joining me to talk through it.
So fun. Thank you.
All right. Bye, everybody.
You've been listening to the Tilt Parenting Podcast. To learn more about the resources mentioned in this Parent Lean In episode, go to the extensive show notes page on tiltparenting.com. To submit a question for a future episode, just go to tiltparenting.com/lean-in. That's tiltparenting.com/LEANIN. If you're looking for personal support from me in connection with the phenomenal community of parents raising neurodivergent kids, join us in the recently rebooted Differently Wired Club. The new Differently Wired Club can help you cultivate the positive shifts you're hoping for. Go to tiltparenting.com/club to learn more. The Tilt Parenting Podcast is hosted by me, Debbie Reber, author of Differently Wired and the founder of Tilt Parenting. To support this show, please join my Patreon campaign where you can set up a small monthly contribution. Just go to patreon.com/tiltparenting to learn more. If you want to follow Tilt on social media, go to @tiltparenting on Instagram and Facebook. Lastly, please take a minute to leave a 5-star rating or review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts. That helps this show stay visible so others can find it more easily. And that's all for this week. Stay safe, stay well, and take good care. And for more information about any of the parenting resources Tilt offers, visit tiltparenting.com.
I'm Margaret.
And I'm Amy.
And together we host the podcast, What Fresh Hell? Laughing in the Face of Motherhood.
Margaret, I would say you're sort of a where are my keys kind of mom.
Correct. Sometimes a where are my kids kind of mom. While you're, Amy, more of a we were supposed to leave 35 seconds ago, mom.
I mean, touche. In each episode of What Fresh Hell, we come at a topic from our usually completely opposite perspectives. I bring the research.
And I bring kind of the gimlet eye. Like, is that research really going to work, people?
And almost 10 million downloads later, we're still laughing.
We also talk to experts in the parenting field, plus parents with stories we can all learn from.
We make each other laugh, we challenge each other's assumptions, and we have what we think is the best parenting community on the internet.
Check out What Fresh Hell, Laughing in the Face of Motherhood, wherever you listen to podcasts.